What's goody, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What up, world? It's your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Today we're here with episode 25 of the Fade Hour. And before we get into that, I'd like to let y'all know, sitting here with a fresh pack. You know, like I told y'all, I was on the pack run earlier on the midday news show. I went out there, got a little cookie dough. So, you know, feeling real good, feeling real light, feeling real talkative. You know, got my main man with me. Go ahead.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke from at Free Smoke Boxing. I got the papaya on me now, which is, if you get it out there, news, it's a fantastic strain. So let's get right to it.
Yes, sir. All right. So today, I don't know if you've seen the Smoke.
Probably. Well, I saw what you showed me. But let's tell the people.
Okay. So how the story goes is that Ryan Garcia. Let's bring it all the way back. Step one. So Ryan Garcia, you know, young fighter, young prospect coming up under Golden Boy, and. Yep. You know, he's pretty much like the young Oscar. You know, he's getting the wins. He's getting the promotion. He's getting the views. The ladies are swooning over him. And so Ryan Garcia's feeling himself. So he calls out Tank. Javonte Davis. He says he can beat Tank.
Big mistake.
He says he can beat Tank. You know, never nothing wrong with confidence. Nobody can be wrong with confidence, right? So he calls out. He says he can beat Tank. So, Money Mayweather, Floyd, you know, TBE, he gets word of this, and he does an interview with TMZ. And in that interview, he basically tells Ryan Garcia that he'll give him $200,000 to fight a sparring partner. And if he beats him, then he'll put him in the ring with Tank, right?
Oof.
So that's cool. That's a good offer. But that's not where it stopped, though. So
then what?
Video footage leaked of Ryan Garcia. Footage leaked of Ryan Garcia or word. I'll say this just to save myself. It's word of that Ryan Garcia was at Floyd Mayweather's party over the weekend.
The same one that Tiger got
Tiger?
What's he doing here?
Tiger? The one that Travis Scott took? Tiger?
Yeah. Tiger?
That's what Floyd probably said when they seen him. Who was Tiger in my party? Tiger?
But yeah, Ryan Garcia was there, right?
Ryan Garcia was there. That's what they say. Ryan Garcia was at the fight. Supposedly there's video footage of Ryan Garcia being at the Mayweather birthday bash, right? And yep. So come to find out, first reported by Lance, I want to say his name wrong, Lance Pugmire from LA Times, from Los
Shout
Angeles
out
Times.
To Lance Pugmire, because he fucked with us from the beginning.
From the beginning. He definitely is always on top of everything, pause. You know, when it comes to these rumors, and he got the extra double pause on that one.
I'll be stealing my tweets from him.
So he goes and he reports that Oscar De La Hoya sent some type of letter to Floyd Mayweather, right?
What type of letter?
A cease and desist letter.
Ooh.
And then it comes out that Oscar De La Hoya did. And he sent a cease and desist letter basically telling Floyd, stay the hell away from my fighter. What are you doing? What are you trying to steal my fighter? What he said, he told TMZ Sports, he said, well, there are proper ways of making fights happen. You don't go out there publicly. The proper way is you send in the contract, we take a look at it, and we talk about it, and we make it happen. That's what real promoters do. In any business, you don't deal with matters publicly, especially in business. You talk about it or send an email. The proper way is to pick up the phone and call me, right? All that type of talk. How do you feel about the? To me, it seems like he's feeling a little heat under his fire when you heard that Ryan Garcia is sneaking out behind your back from the Golden Boy, the Golden Boy Palace popping up at the Mayweather Mansion for the party. You know they went at the Mayweather Mansion, but you know what I mean.
So,
Mayweather promotion.
Let's get to the core foundation of this, right?
Okay.
So Ryan Garcia was chilling at Floyd's party, and Oscar De La Hoya felt some type of way, right?
Yes,
so that's pretty much it. Oscar De La Hoya has felt some type of way about Floyd, and Floyd has felt some type of way about him for, like, what, 12 years now? It's, man, like, on some gossip girl shit. But all that being said, I don't know what the bigger, you know, bitch move is. Oscar actually talking about legal action, or Floyd consistently being on TMZ doing stuff like that, which Oscar's right, that shit is mad unprofessional. Like, yeah. News, you know that there is work news and then there's news, and by that I mean at work we're all different, you know, we're all a little bit different, we're all a little bit toned down, at least if you're intelligent you are. And so Floyd kind of pulled something that a real, like, professional person wouldn't do.
But
at the same time, the boxing industry is way different than anything else. Like, it's more of a reality based. So by that I mean people in it are more real, they're true to their word. And so Oscar sounds like mad jealous, issuing a cease and desist. Like, that's something you do to someone who steals, like, your song and plays it over and over.
Well, I mean, first,
he's mad about him trying to steal his fighter.
Yep, exactly.
That's what it is.
And that would crush him. I mean, because Ryan Garcia is up under Canelo. He is, you know, learning up under the ways of the future number one pound for pound fighter in the world, Canelo Alvarez. And he don't want him to go. He don't want to lose a Ryan Garcia to Mayweather Promotions. Because if Floyd can get a Ryan Garcia, and I've always said that about Floyd. People say, we talk about his promoter skills or lack of, but I always say that Floyd never really had a pure superstar fighter. And I think that even with Tank, you have to build Tank though. Because Tank has to build Tank's presence. Ryan Garcia is already a star. Like, he's already has a full female fan base.
I mean, built in. You see him at the end of fights where he's like taking hugs from the Tecate girls, and it's like, okay, like, yeah. And then, like, Tank, they don't even really do interviews with him because he's still kind of developing. And I get what you're saying. Like, Floyd would definitely try and steal Ryan Garcia from Oscar De La Hoya, because didn't he, I mean, Floyd has a history of doing some scandalous shit, man.
Yeah,
especially when it comes to you know, other people's possessions. And in this case, you know, Ryan Garcia's contract with Golden Boy.
I would say, even with Floyd, though, I mean, there's nothing to stop him. I mean, that would definitely be a move to spite Oscar De La Hoya. Not only did I beat all the fighters you had, then I took your future of your organization.
Yeah, so if I'm Oscar De La Hoya, instead of sending a cease and desist letter, I'm sending Ryan Garcia a text message that says, come to Oscar De La Hoya's crib, I got a kilo of that fish scale.
It's almost like...
I mean, like, let's be real. Like, let's make amends. Let's not talk about some shit, you know, legally. Let's do some fun stuff.
I would say, man, it's almost like Oscar De La Hoya caught his girl cheating on him, or about to cheat on him, caught her out creeping.
And that's what he's doing.
Instead of getting mad at his girl, in this case as Ryan Garcia, he's getting mad at Floyd and trying to leave her alone.
Yeah.
Leave him alone. Like, a cease and desist letter.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, he didn't really do anything. And Floyd don't play by the professional rules, because that's the one thing. He never had to be professional, because he's his own entity. He's the only person that we know of that really doesn't have any reins on him in sports.
Yeah. I mean, so Floyd is just, I mean, he's a character, whether it's the boots or the offering $200,000 to fight a sparring partner or still buying Gucci after their unbelievably racist bullshit.
Come on, man. Crazy.
But more so than that, Floyd is an attention whore, and he makes Oscar De La Hoya look like some dude who's very confident with himself. And some people will say, and I agree with it, Floyd is a master marketer, right? Like, he always keeps his name out there. We're talking about him, and he hasn't fought since, 2016 or something like that. But the way he comes off, I don't know. It's something about it.
I don't see it, though. I look at, like, Floyd, like, people do say that about Floyd. You're right. But I look at it with Floyd, like, the fact that the reason Floyd stays around is because Floyd's pretty much the best of our generation. He's the best of our era. So just like Jordan name is always around. He ain't shot a hoop since, 2003. We still hear about Michael Jordan. His shoes are still the number one selling shoes today. And he don't play. I mean, so Floyd, he's not to say anything disrespectful in that way, but just to put it in caliber, it's not like a Zab Judah in that sense, where people aren't saying Zab Judah's name as much as we're saying Floyd's name. And I'm not saying that Floyd do it because Floyd shows something on TV. On his Instagram, we don't have to tune into that. TMZ don't have to be stalking Floyd. They go to Floyd because he's still relevant, because again, from this era, this generation, and typically an era is about 30 years. So, and it's about to be 2020. So what, from like 90 to 2020?
Yeah.
Like, I would have Floyd like number one from that time span. And so that's why.
So I will say that you are a little bit wrong on one point, and that is if you're at the hospital, you will be calling Zab Judah's name because he is a CNA, a registered nurse, I think. And shout out to him for continuing his career past boxing. But something that Floyd did, 6 years ago in May, was he beat Canelo, right? And Canelo, as you said, the future number one pound for pound. He had their press conference or face off against Danny Jacobs today. Did you catch that shit?
I didn't catch the full press conference at all. I really don't.
Did you catch our homie's tweets about it?
Who?
Champside.
No, I didn't catch any tweets on it.
So Danny Jacobs is 4 or 5 inches taller than Canelo.
Oh, yeah.
So it's interesting. After Canelo went up to 168, right? And he weighed in at what he did. And seeing that Daniel Jacobs is still bigger than him, you know, do you think the same threat is there from Canelo? Or do you think that the Danny Jacobs that gave Triple G every single problem that he ever had before he faced Canelo will do the same thing to Canelo?
I mean, I think that Danny Jacobs always has the height advantage. That's what I've been saying since Canelo's been at 154. That I want to see him against some of these bigger guys who are 6 feet damn near, with Jamal Charlo, and Danny Jacobs is that size. And so I definitely think that Danny Jacobs' size can give not just the size, because Danny Jacobs is also extremely explosive as a fighter. And I mean that, and when I say explosive, that means power, speed, athleticism, quickness, agile. He's very explosive, very athletic.
Do you remember what he did to Kid Chocolate?
Yeah, punished.
Yo, Kid Chocolate was undefeated, and we haven't heard about him in 4 years.
Punished Kid Chocolate is what he did. And it's like, I can see Danny Jacobs. I can see Danny Jacobs causing a lot of trouble for Canelo.
Before he gets knocked out.
I'm not even going to say he's going to get knocked out because Canelo. Because Canelo, who's Canelo really knocked out that's bigger than him at the top level?
Jacobs. I mean,
he's not that type of fighter. He's a partner that'll wear you down and probably take me, but I can't see him doing it to Danny Jacobs. I do see him winning, though.
So here's the thing. I mean, the only dude at that weight that Canelo has fought is Triple G. And whatever you want to say about Triple G, I've said all the negative things possible. He has a chin that is made of fucking granite. I mean, he took shots from Canelo that would probably, you know, knock down most 168 pounders. So I think that his power, especially to the body, since Danny Jacobs is so tall, I think that's what's going to end up wearing him down and possibly getting him out of there. I'm still undecided on what happens. I likewise think Canelo wins, but I'm not sure how.
I have Canelo. He faced Chavez.
Yep,
168,
and he beat the living shit out of him.
Right, but he still couldn't knock him out. And so, and it's like I'm expecting Danny Jacobs to be coming in around that size. You know, and he's not going to be, you know, as big, but over Canelo, he's going to give him much more work than Chavez was able to do. Like, this is still Danny Jacobs here. And I just think that it's going to definitely be a trial for Canelo the first half of the fight. But then again, I do believe Canelo is the more skilled fighter. So I think it's going to just take him. It's going to be a matter of time for Canelo to figure him out. And then it's going to become where Canelo starts countering him and rolling off of Danny Jacobs' aggressiveness. And then you're going to see Canelo start walking him down and doing the body shots and combination punches that we're used to seeing of Canelo. And Canelo pulls out the victory at the end. I do want to say, because I was checking the comments like during our show.
Yeah, my boy's there.
Yeah, and I see he said, De La Hoya has hated Floyd since dude stole his gym bag.
Yeah, oh shit. I remember that rumor. But yeah,
Shout out
to all my people in Illinois, Utah, Midwest, Florida, wherever y'all be at.
Shout out to everybody that support Ringside Rave and the Fade Hour.
Free smoke boxing. Hey, yeah. So speaking of fights and things like that in general, we've had a lot of scraps this year, right? Already. And it's only the end of February.
Right.
What do you think has been the best so far in terms of entertainment value?
Of 2019?
Yep. 2 months in. I know that's a tough question. Remember, Wilder Fury was at the end of 18.
Yeah, so I'm trying to go through.
Did you see the Cancio fight?
I was going to say, no, I didn't see that one. I was going to say my favorite fight that I seen was the Erickson Lubin Ishae Smith fight.
Ooh, yeah. Shout out to Hammerhead. Yeah. And I want to say this news. You put me on to Erickson Lubin. Yes, sir, Hammerhead. And then I went and actually met the dude, and he's cool as shit. So, like, his comeback fight was a little bit unexpected, right? Like, we weren't too sure what was going to happen with him versus Ishae Smith. And it turned out that he, you know, laid Ishae Smith out. Yeah.
Punished him. And I said that he would have to do that. And I was saying that he would have to do that to an Ishae Smith in order to prove that he's really who they said he was and all this. Because remember, Erickson Lubin was extremely, extremely heralded on when he was in the amateurs.
I mean, didn't he skip prom to have a pro fight?
Yeah, he did that. But not only that, remember the U.S. Team USA was upset. The U.S. Olympic. Mike Tyson for signing Erickson Lubin at the beginning of his career, saying basically he was setting back amateur boxing by doing that. That's the type of hype that Erickson Lubin came in the game off of. And when I seen it, I watched him, the kid had mad talent, young, but he got, what happened was he put what they call it, the cart ahead of the horse, and he talked his way up to Jermell Charlo, and he came in with the mindset of just extreme confidence, cockiness, you can call it, young, arrogant, and he got humbled extremely for it. And it's good to see him come back and do the dark match first, because he did have a fight before Ishae Smith, and work with Kevin Cunningham and work with Adrian Broner and Tank down in Florida and come out there and do that type of performance to an Ishae Smith, something that's never been done to Ishae Smith. Ishae Smith has never been beat up like that. And I know he's older. I definitely know he's older. But like but I was saying,
he gave J-Rock hell. And right. We're not talking about the top dog.
Right. Like, right. So that was definitely a very impressive performance. So for me, that's my favorite performance so far this year. It may not be everyone else, but for me, like just seeing the comeback, because I think that Erickson Lubin is definitely going to be a force at 154.
Yeah, he will be. I think him versus J-Rock or what's it called? Swift would actually be, whoever wins that fight would be good. But mine is for the dude that beat, I think it's Alberto Machado, the guy that everyone was bitching about,
right?
Tanked, had his, you know, not the real champion, all that stuff. And the dude, Andrew Cancio, like, this is what happened. So the Tank fight happened early, and it was over, like, within a round, right? So, you know me, I went, I smoked, and, you know, got ready to fall asleep, whatever. And then I'm like, oh yeah, there's fights on DAZN. I tune in, and this dude who works a normal job, like, news, imagine, like, your homie that, like, works two departments over, he comes in on Monday, and he's like, yo, I just won the WBA Super, you know, Championship of the World. And so, like, that has been my favorite one, because you could tell, like, the excitement and passion that was going on. And also, Machado was very overrated, and his L was, you know, just bound to happen.
I just didn't like the whole push of everybody trying to push it like, well, Tank's not there. He's the, Machado's the super. Like, no, like, Tank's the real super. I mean, you can't do that, because if it was the opposite way, people would definitely call Tank the regular champion.
Regardless of what happened,
you know, so don't play it like that. And we also seen Tank win the belt.
He did something. So Tank that night put on one of the most entertaining fights of the year. Because, I mean, you had a fight party. How'd they react to that knockout?
I mean, it was easy work, man. Everybody exploded. Everybody went crazy. Everybody goes crazy. Now, we didn't go crazy when Tank came out.
No.
That entrance was kind of weak.
Let's put everything on the table here. I am a normal white guy that lives in the suburbs of Denver, and I work in an office. And Tank's intro was less than swaggerless. It was like
he was smiling.
His swag was on double negative. Like, he was forced out there.
I just feel like they were trying to do something different with it for that one, you know. But at the end of the day, I can't wait to see Tank when he go to Baltimore. I'm really trying to be at that fight. That's going to be crazy. I'm definitely going to do a fade hour that night. Like, because this is going to be live, so I'm going to definitely try to do a fade hour where I can come in and, like, call in and give the fans an extremely live experience, like, directly from the fight of what's going on, because it's going to be crazy.
Where is that even? Is there an arena in Baltimore? Because I thought it was the DC Armory that was, like, the spot that just is, like, real lit.
Well, yeah, that was until they built the MGM Harbor. Like, they built a casino. Yeah, they built a casino there. And it's only right that Tank fights there.
So, did they build it on the same fucking harbor that season 2 of The Wire was about?
Man, I have to say this, man. And people are going to be like, what? I never seen The Wire, Smoke. I never seen it.
What?
I'm so...
Yo, you know that part when you're at a party and someone's like, yeah, I don't think it's that weird to be insert this, and then the DJ stops like, you've never seen The Wire?
Nope, I didn't see The Wire. I didn't see The Wire or Oz. At that time in my life and how we was growing up, man, we didn't have cable. We didn't have TV at that time, for real.
I mean, news, so, but since then you've had internet.
No, I mean, but I don't go back and watch anything that already happened. Like, it's too late. I'm not a person like I can't go back and experience after the fact. It feels like, you know what I'm saying? It's like unnatural. It's like watching a football game after you know the score.
Well, you know the thing saying? Is,
like, it's not the same.
Is that they had an entire like subplot of The Wire based on Tank and his, you know, his trainer growing up.
Oh, that's
what's yeah, like. Cuddy, man.
Oh man!
Shout
that's
out
crazy.
To my people that have seen The Wire, because apparently news isn't one of them.
No, I never seen life. Listen, man, life. That was TV, but man. Listen, man, Life on Empire, that's where I'm from, man. Shout out to 105 and Empire, that's where I'm from. Hey, life was surreal to see The Wire. I wish I would have seen it, but I did not see it. Like, bro, we didn't even have lights. But I ain't about to do all that on the show. Y'all know what it is with me. But we here, and we living life at the top level, and Ringside Rave at the top. And guess who else here? Go ahead, speak to the people. You got in just in time.
What up, y'all? It's your boy P. I'm late, but I'm better late than never. You know what it is. Reckon Ringside Rave, Bodega Boxing. You already know.
Yes, sir. You made it right before the show is about to wrap up, P.
P, speak your mind, man. Get to it.
Yeah, we about
What you want me? What was y'all talking about? I'll give y'all my thoughts real quick.
Yo, yes, most entertaining play of the year.
So far?
Yep.
Ooh. That's a tough one.
To you, just your personal opinion.
I mean, I'm biased because I was there, but I'll probably say Thurman Lopez because I was there and that shit was exciting. So
yeah, yo, that was the one that got the Steve Willis clip.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every Steve Willis fight gets at least one clip, especially if he's in the main event. You already know. He's always the guy.
What do you think about the? Did you hear about the De La Hoya issuing the cease and desist letter to Floyd Mayweather over Ryan Garcia?
Yeah, I heard about it, but I didn't really read too much into it. What exactly was is he given a cease to not say Ryan's name? Because I know Floyd called like said all that Ryan should fight one of his fighters, and then afterwards he'll give him the Tank fight.
Yo, right. So he said on tape, I'll throw you 200 racks to fight some sparring partner, and if you beat him, you get Tank. So it was kind of like boxing collusion? Tampering?
I mean, is it really, though?
This and the cease letter because Ryan, and it was also word that Ryan Garcia was at Floyd Mayweather's birthday party over the weekend. That had came out. And then all of a sudden, here comes a cease and desist letter from Oscar De La Hoya. So what do you think about that? I was telling Floyd, it was almost like catching your girl at the next man's party or something like that. And instead of you checking your girl, which would be Ryan Garcia in this case, he going to Floyd.
So it's funny because that shit reminds me of the NBA and how you got owners and front offices of teams secretly meeting with players and shit, or getting their players to recruit other players while they're still on another team, and the team always files for tampering charges. LA Lakers have been filed for tampering charges for 2 years in a row. Seems like they're something, but they're trying to, you know, under the table, trying to negotiate something. Or, I mean, I understand De La Hoya's point because that's his guy, his investment, so he's going to protect his investment. He wants to dictate the terms, not Floyd.
So look at it like this. So imagine, like, we all work in places where we have a lot of other people working there and we have common areas and stuff like that. So imagine that, like, you bring in a big ass thing of like flavored creamer and you pop your name all over it, right? They're like, this is Smoke's flavored creamer. And people just start taking it, right? So instead of going to them and saying, hey, you know, that's my creamer, I paid $4 for it, stop fucking with my creamer, you go to your boss and you're like, hey, we need to talk about human resources and someone's stealing my creamer. that's the cease and desist letter. Yeah. And Oscar De La Hoya, you fought with your hands for a long time, bro. Like, what are you doing, man?
I mean, I mean, if he's really like meeting with him on a one-on-one thing, that's fine. But like, that's not going to stop Tank. That's not going to stop Floyd from just saying his name on, like, you know, just out in the public. He's out in the public in the media, and it's funny because De La Hoya and Aaron have been known for years to try to negotiate through the media. That's their MO, to try to put out false offers and bullshit, or just put out off, like, let shit that's supposed to be in closed doors out to the public. So I find it funny that now all of a sudden Floyd's doing it and he don't like it.
Yo, so I think it's really the Oscar is jealous of those like horse jockey boots that Floyd got.
He's always jealous.
I mean, but at the end of the day, he kind of should be, because he was supposed to have been the GOAT. His nickname is the Golden Boy. The Golden Boy ain't supposed to allow the pretty boy to surpass him. And Floyd actually surpassed him. Floyd was after him.
Yeah, I get it, because, I mean, and I understand. Yeah. People, a lot of people still think that, like, a lot of their beef is, like, staged. But, like, to me, I feel like that shit is real. De La Hoya really does not like Floyd, and he's jealous.
You hate her.
And to me, the root of it is this: at the end of the day, Oscar is mad because Oscar's always been, you know, the golden boy, the top dog. When he was a boxer, he was the top dog. But the one thing that it's funny because that their fight, they were both looking for something from the other person. Floyd wanted Oscar's money. I wanted to make the money that Oscar made. Oscar wanted the respect in boxing, because even when he was the top dog in boxing, a lot of, like, hardcore fans never really put respect on his name. It's like De La Hoya, he's all right, but he never got the respect of being considered a top fighter like Floyd. And him beating Floyd was supposed to get him to that level, to where he was respected like Floyd. But because he lost, he wasn't. And now Floyd, he's got the respect and the money. So he's got both. So now, you know, Oscar's going to hate him.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me that two people at the, you know, pinnacle of their games like that can be so insecure. But, you know, everyone's wired differently.
Man, I'll just say it like this, and then we're going to wrap up the show tonight, fellas, with a swing around the table, okay? I'm going to say this. This is how it seems to me, and I'm going to say this, and this is the cookie dough speaking. I'm speaking from the heart. It just seems like Oscar De La Hoya was that dude, right? Back in the 1992 Olympics and all that. He was the golden boy. He was marketed as such, and he carried himself as such. Popularity, he had the money, he had the W's, he had the praise in the boxing world. 1996, Pretty Boy came on the scene. 4 years later, young black kid from Flint, Michigan. He was touted for his skills.
Grand Rapids.
He was touted for his skill. But he did not have the brand recognition of the Golden Boy. Go along. They finally meet after Pretty Boy was calling him out for so many years. They finally clash, and Pretty Boy beats him, then becomes Money Mayweather, right? Then he takes his spot as the top dog in the sport. So I not only beat your ass, then you got your younger brother coming up. You call him Canelo. He's the new Golden Boy, supposedly. I give him a boxing lesson too. So I beat your younger brother, and then your second oldest brother, and then your baby brother. Guess what? I got him coming over to my house to play Fortnite. He want to be part of the camp. It got to be steaming Oscar De La Hoya.
I've never been the biggest De La Hoya fan, but I kind of feel for him, because De La Hoya has become like what I like to call, like, if I were to compare him in other sports, he's almost become like the LL Cool J or the Derek Jeter of boxing, in the sense that he was so, in my opinion, he was so overrated that he became underrated, if that makes sense.
Yo, Pete, if I transferred body, like if I had to go through a gruesome death tomorrow and transferred bodies into, and super pause on this, into being like Derek Jeter or Oscar De La Hoya, it would be the best day of my life. So they're not really underrated. They are perfectly rated.
No, in the sense of where they're at, like their talent and their like,
yo,
their
like respect for keeping it a buck, right?
And I'm a Yankee fan, so
that's it. But we'll get more into it tomorrow, y'all.
Yeah. Did y'all talk about the Canelo Jacobs stare down?
We did. But you can go ahead and get your piece on it if you want to get your piece on the Canelo. We spoke on Canelo versus Jacobs.
Honestly, the crazy part is that I knew that Jacobs was the bigger guy, but I did not realize how much he towered over Canelo in person. Canelo's like 5'7", and like Jacobs is like 6 feet, and I met Jacob, like a little bigger than me, but like taller than me. But when they stood together, oh my god! Like he made Canelo look like a dwarf. So it's going to be interesting to see how Canelo deals with that size and the length, pause, and the athleticism that Jacob. Jacob is going to be a live dog, and he's going to give. He's got a better chance than a lot of people are giving.
Yeah,
so, that's just my thought.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, y'all, let's go around the table to everybody where they can find you. I'm about to wrap it up. Go ahead, Pete. We're going to go back the opposite way, as a matter of fact. Reverse.
You already know where you can find me, both on Instagram and Twitter at Bodega Box.
Hey, man. This is your boy Smoke at Free Smoke Box, and y'all know where to find me. And, yo, just check me out on the Fade Hour 4 times a week. Shout out to my boy News and Ringside Rave. Holla at me.
And yeah, y'all, once again, it's been another beautiful episode of the Fade Hour, episode 25. It's your boy News. Make sure y'all tune in to Ringside Rave for the Fade Hour Monday nights, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you don't catch it, that's okay, because we'll be up in the mornings on Spotify, where you can catch us on there. Also on iTunes. So, like, we're all around, you know, tune in to us and make sure you hit the subscribe button and hit the notifications button. So that way you are aware when we are live or whenever a new video or something goes up. With that being said, thank you guys for tuning in, and we out.
Yeah.